Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church in the Prayer Room Ministry. We just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast doing our ministry training class. I give God all praise and glory on today. We're gonna just open up our ministry's training. We're gonna have a scripture, a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and then we're gonna go into it. I just give God reverence today. I give God reverence and I give Him praise on today. I magnify His name today. I give Apostle Dean reverence, and to everyone in their respective places, I thank God for being here. We're going to go into our devotion.
I was just a child. I could feel my way to I was wrong to what I could now understand. For the call of Christ, I have spent my day believing that what He has me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I'll need. Then demanded justice for my soul. Mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. But He said no. Sin will never take control. Life is now not mine to face. Darkness tries to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. And now when they looked at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of the one that was on the cross.
Okay. Have our scripture reading now from Minister Martin.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The scripture I will be reading is out of 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3.
Okay.
Give everyone a chance to go through it. Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spirit, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. Babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, and ye not carnal and walk as men. For while one say, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollo, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollo, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered it, but God that gave it the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Amen.
Amen.
I have read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 8.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man of God. We did. Come tonight, God, humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight confessing every sin and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we first of all come asking you to bind up the strong man tonight, bind the strong man, Lord, in the mind and every demonic force that come with it, Lord. I ask you to bind right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you that every demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now. I serve you eviction notice in the name of Jesus. Lord, bind the strong man from our lives, bind him from this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you today to open up our understanding, Lord. Lord, we ask you to train us, teach us, guide us, lead us in the things you would have us to do on today. Open up our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things and we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank and praise God on tonight. We're not going to be on very long, but we're going to get some things done because next Monday we're going to do the armor barrel. And then the next Monday we'll do minister training. And then we're going to do it one every other week. So today we're going to be talking about ethics, etiquette, and protocol in ministry. And my first thing is, what does ethics mean? Can anybody tell me? Excuse me. What does ethics mean? Okay. Ethics mean discipline. Did I not wait long enough?
A set of moral principles.
Tell me again.
A set of moral principles. a set of moral principles.
That's right. Our practice. I didn't wait for y'all long enough. I'm sorry.
Follow a proper protocol that is of high moral standard and accountability.
Amen. 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 It's a discipline dealing with good and evil and with moral duties as well. All of those are right, and that's good. And we have to talk about when it comes to dealing in ministry and with ministry, we have to make sure we have ethics as a minister of God, because we represent God. And we don't want to make God look bad, and we don't want to make ourselves look bad. For instance, if I said, Minister Salah, pray over the offering, and you get up there and say, Lord, bless my mama, bless my daddy, Lord, bless the pastor, bless, and all I said was to pray over the offering, Lord, bless these gifts that was given, these tithes that was given, changing from a natural use to a spiritual use, Lord. Let it be used for what you intend these tithes and offerings to be used for. In Jesus' name I pray. I mean, some people, especially older people, like older people that just want to pray or something, they just get up there and pray. But when somebody said pray over the offering or pray over the building fund or pray for her head is hurting, can you pray for her? You got to pray a healing prayer, a prayer of healing and faith. You see what I'm saying? It's a discipline dealing in good and evil and with moral duties. Or or practice. So we have to make sure we dealing in it that way. So do you understand? Can anybody tell me anything else dealing with ethic? Because we want to make sure you understand about ethics. You have to have discipline. I mean, somebody could come up, one of the members, or maybe even be your parishioners, or somebody in the congregation can come up there and say, you know what, I get tired of you doing so and so, brother deacon, brother minister, and you always, every time, and this and this and this, and just going off. But you have to have the discipline to stand there and listen. And when they finish, you could say, well, I'm so sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry. And, you know, we got to get this thing settled. If I did anything or said anything to offend you or something, I'm sorry, because you represent God. When you got that tag on you, you represent God, and you will be tried and tested. You will be. I don't care where you are, you're going to be tried and tested. So believe me, you could be anywhere, and you can't. I mean, I know we human, and the first thing you'll say, well, I'm a minister. And then the next week, I don't care what you think. You're this and that, you did that. You know, you have to have discipline and hold your peace, ask God, and that's why prayer in with that. Because a lot of times the enemy just be sending people to disrupt you and distract you. So you really have to pray and ask God to help you get through it. What's adequate?
like the social protocol for interacting with others.
Like we say, a
gentleman will open the door for a lady if he sees him approaching, or the youth may assist the elder, or you know, if you're sitting down, you're in the room, and then you're the person entering the room. The person that's entering or coming towards the other person should be the one to speak.
Absolutely. That's good. It prescribed by custom.
To set the table. Proper way to hold
that's
your
right.
fork and knife and.
A proper way to sit. Sit down for women and men, it's a proper way. It's a proper way to say things. You know, especially being a man or a woman of God, it's a proper way to do a lot of things. Decency, dignity, etiquette comes, you know, different kind of etiquette. It's like she was saying, and it come in a lot of different ways. And we have to be mindful. We have to really be mindful, especially in the ministry. So the introduction here to the papers, the church must commit themselves to the Joshua 24:15 mindset. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. H.B. London, if a person does not have a code of ethics, he almost has a license to behave in any manner he chooses. And that's the truth. We're living in a day when ethical behavior is not valued because executives value the bottom line over ethics. There is one place, though, where unethical behavior should never appear in the lives of ministers. Those who have been called to preach the gospel should exhibit godliness and integrity. And that's right. I mean, we're human, but as much as possible, we need to do this. We need to, it's a way that you have to carry yourself. It's a way you're not better than anybody else. We don't think that. But we know who we represent. And when God sent us out there, he means for us to do the right thing. Because ministers, we evangelists, we witness. That's what we're supposed to be doing anyway, bringing people to Christ. Bringing people to Christ. You know, sending them so God can save their soul. And so when you interact with people, even on the street, on the buses, on the train, plane, your talk should be Jesus mostly. I know you can't just because you around people way like that, but your talk should be where they'll know that you different. You don't have to wear a sign, you don't have to wear a sign on your back. You don't have to tell nobody you know prophet. You don't have to tell nobody you know minister, you know pastor. The way your conversation goes and the way they look at you, you know, the way you dress, you know, your attire. You can't, you know, you just cannot. You got to have a way about yourself where you don't wear anything. Being a minister of God, being a prophetess of God, or a prophet of God, a Christian, just a believer. You can't look any kind of way. You can look, but you can't put on anything. And you know what I'm talking about. We can wear what we have, but it can't be revealing. It shouldn't be. what is the impact of unethical behavior of a pastor? H.B. London Jr. says the following in response. Some churches become almost suspicious and mistrusting of their spiritual leader. Pastors come and go, but they never find a place of trust in the congregation because the church has been betrayed to a point where they determine they would never get close to a spiritual leader again. And that comes from us. It comes from, you know, because sometimes you can take things way out of proportion. You could take it out of proportion and they'll be doing everything. Paying for this, paying for that, doing this, doing that. All of this kind of stuff when you can do some things on your own. And then they get tired of doing it. They start off doing it, but then they get tired of doing it. We got to keep doing this for her or for him. And then after that, when the man or woman of God tell them, well, you know, you are the one started this, and I need you to keep doing it or something like that, or even it could be anything else for mistrust. And we don't want that. If we tell them something, we need to do it. If we say something, I try my best to do it. I try my best. My heart is to do what I can do. It not only affects the senior pastor, but also the youth pastor, the music minister, and continue its ripple effect within the body of Christ. It says, H.B. London Jr. goes on to say, I have experienced this in my life. I was 16, a senior in high school, and an only child. I remember an unbelievable sadness that came over me when my parents told me my father was no longer going to be allowed to pastor the church he was presently serving. We would be moving out of our beautiful home to a walk-up apartment on the outskirts of town until I graduated from high school. I remember looking at my parents' eyes and seeing the shame there, especially in my dad's eyes. And because that happens sometimes, they vote you out or whatever, however it happened. And that's why you have to, I mean, you could depend on the church people to a certain extent, but you always have a job or something that you could fall back on because church folk is something. I love all of them, but church folk is something. And you know they think you dependent on them to eat and to do everything else. And a lot of pastors does. They depend on them to pay everything, but you shouldn't have to. That's the wrong thing to do. You need to get you a job and do what you got to do, and tithes and offerings. And as I grew older and became privy to what other people were thinking, I realized that the influence he once had was significant, but that his failure had disappointed many people. Even though he was restored and became president of a seminary, I saw the shame and the hurt in his life when he looked at me and Mom. He realized he had done something to us that could never be reversed. And I don't know what happened there, but they probably voted him out for some reason. And, you know, or maybe they just wanted somebody younger. I don't know. But that's church people. That's church people, and you have to go. You have to have, that's when they vote you out or put you out, whatever they do. I've seen some horrible things. You have to go. And no need of standing talking about, well, I don't think I did nothing wrong or this and that and all of this. Just go. And sometime God be trying to elevate you anyway to a higher calling, but you have to have it in your mind that if he closed this door, he's going to open another door for the man of God and his family. So we really have to have good ethics when it comes to stuff like that. And I know it's hard being ministers and training, getting in. You never think about this stuff until you're in the spot. You never think about it could happen to you until it happens. And you just don't know what to do, especially him being a man and his son and wife. Like, what is going on? Why do we have to leave? Because a lot of them live in the churches, parsonage in their home. You know, and nothing wrong with that. But when they put you out, you got to go. And you can't be fussing and fighting and all of this. That's church folk. That's why you have to have good ethics and etiquette. That's why. It says, my father, failure continues to shape everything I do. I do not want to hurt anybody the way he hurt me. I did not want to disappoint anybody the way he disappointed me. Now, it affected the son so bad. You know, and the dad didn't do anything, I don't guess. He said, I would try to take away the trippings of prestige, power, position, and placement and become like Paul, who cried out when his heart was strangely warm. Oh, God, here am I. I am not worthy, but use me however you want to use me. I will do whatever you ask me to do. And that's a good way to be, a very good way to be. So, the categories of ethics is honesty. Is honesty. Don't lie, particularly about things that might result in an emotion in a ministry. The God can also demote you in the spirit. That's one person that can fire you and still use you, take you out of that church and still use you to do something else. And then it says, don't, it's, what is that? It's, I can't even say that. It's grabber rate. What is that? Anyway, no, I can't pronounce that. Anyway, lying from the pulpit is unethical. When preaching or sharing, trying to conduct and validate the research, be careful of hearsay. You have to be careful of that. When you standing in God's pulpit lying on, because I seen back here last year, a preacher, he preached and he sit down in the chair and died. And they taped it because they didn't know that was what's going to happen. They thought he was still preaching. He sit down in the chair and died. You can't do that. It's serious when it comes to God. It's preaching. Don't preach against people, but rather for what is right. I've heard so many people, pastors, ministers, evangelists, preachers, whatever it is, one in the congregation tell them something or something happened and they go preach on them. You're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to do that. Be careful about calling out names from the pulpit or in-house groups. We don't want to be known for who we are against, but rather for what we are for. You know, because you can do that. You can be talking to somebody and call it even over across the pulpit. We don't want to do that, especially with names. And the best thing to do is pray for people anyway. Don't proof text. That's abusing the scripture to enforce your own doctrine, because sometimes we all a lot of times have different interpretation. But if we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the interpretation of a scripture, and we just have to study and read and just compare, but don't proof text it when the pastor get up and start, you know, don't do that. And it says, don't preach from a place of bitterness. Don't preach when you're angry. I'd be scared to do that. Because God look at our heart. He know the motives of our heart. He know the motives of our heart. So we shouldn't be even in the pool. But I wouldn't even go up there if I was mad. Mm-mm. No, I fear God too much for that. It says, don't preach what is supposed to be for an individual one-on-one. Don't preach nobody's business. That's what he's saying. Don't preach nobody's business. Mm-mm. And it says, money matters. Don't use the fact that you are a minister as your right to freebies and other benefits. A lot of pastors do that. A lot of preachers, many evangelists, pastors, whoever they are, you know, and it don't make me feel good to say it, but I want ministers to know what to do and what not to do. Mm-mm. It says, pay church bills if you are an administrator. If not, the church can get a bad name. That's right. You have to pay your bills. Be careful because you represent the church. So watch how you speak to outsiders. Because, you know, when you're ministering or somebody say something or just and you come back at them with something else and they be saying, I don't like that preacher. She ain't no preacher. He ain't no preacher because they said this and this and this and got mad. And see, we still human. And we have to still repent, but we're human. Ministerial PRs, people sometimes giving the church a bad name. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to say something on these?
Well, it's been home for a lot of stuff because me and my husband really don't be into it. Especially with the pastors and a lot of stuff that you have read, but like you were saying, we gotta have. To me, ethics and etiquette is like the same thing, because you still have to follow your. What am I trying to say? You still have to do the right thing. You still have to have polite behavior. You still have to do right. Mm-hmm. You still got to keep in mind that you is a child of God and God is testing you, and you need to, you know, stay focused and stay on track. So this is hitting home. It's kind of, you know, getting my life together too because, you know, my attitude is a little bad. But at the same time, I'm learning how to keep it, you know, keep it on mute and starting to listen. Mm-hmm. To what people is really saying, especially being in a certain position God wants me to be in, I have to be quiet and listen. And God been putting me through things that's going to shut me up anyway. So he's been teaching me. And so this is really helpful.
Amen. That's good. Says, never count money alone. Like if you at the church and they short a deacon or something, and they want you to help, or you up there taking the money because nobody else is there. You call somebody else back there with you because, honey, they'll act like they. I put $100 in there. Where is that? It ain't put nothing in there. Never take money home if you are a pastor. Rather let someone else do it if you have to. Don't you never do it. Always have an account of church money use. Be generous when it comes to claiming refunds from the church. Rather give money than lend money. Mm-hmm. Avoid borrowing money from congregational members. I had that experience. If you are a pastor or a leader, it's very difficult to rebuke someone who you have borrowed money from. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. Mm-mm. Never solicit business.
I got a quick question, Apostle, before you go. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is it okay to put something in the offering and ask for change? Is that okay? Because I've seen people do that a lot.
Well, you know what? If it's you know what I've done it myself because that was all I had. So I was given, and it could be part of, it could be your tithe money, but you don't have anything else, so you want what's left. I have asked for put $20 in or $25 in there and give me my change or like that. I have done it, but you know, I don't think ethical to do it. I did it, but I don't think it's, especially if you're a pastor or a minister, you know, prophet or whatever. But if you, you know, I guess God knows, you know, God knows. You can't, you can talk about business sin response to request made. Business sin, you could talk about the, I don't know what that means. Don't assume that everyone in church with you is honest in business. Oh, now I kind of know what that means. But don't assume that everybody in church with you is honest, because they're not. They're not. I didn't find that out, baby, when I was living in Florida, and I stayed right around the corner from Paula White Church, and I didn't have any food to eat. I went over there to that big church and asked them for some food. Do you think they gave me a bag of beans? They didn't give me nothing. So you have to check back again. I said, all right, I was so hungry I could have bit a thing off. That's how hungry I was, but maybe I needed to fast. You know, so God do things in mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. Be careful about employer-employee relations. Like a pastor, if you're working for the church, you have to be careful about that. I'm telling you, I've been through some stuff with these secretaries and clerks and all that with the pastor and all that. You have to really be careful because look like pastors and ministers and stuff, men and women, draw the opposite sex, and that anointing be drawing that them to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to know how to watch yourself in that. It says, don't hire people on a welfare basis, but think about it from a business perspective. Are they good? Are they trustworthy? Yeah, you can't just do it because you feel sorry for them or something like that, but they have to know the job. Don't hire them because he Uncle Lavelle. Don't do that because Uncle Lavelle may not know how to do none of what you need to be done. Mm-mm. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do one more, and we're going to get off. Guest ministry. And it's a lot of things I still need to explain, because even with a guest minister that you invite, you're supposed to really treat them generous. And just like it says, be generous with the honorarium based on the level of ministry coming to you. Wait a minute, y'all. And the honorarium should cover expenses and also be an encouragement to the minister. The visiting, that means give them enough money to cover whatever, you know. That's what that means, be generous in the money given. And it's okay, especially if you can afford it. The visiting, because I've had ministers that preach for me where I didn't have a whole lot, and they took what I gave them. But when I got here and I did revival, they wanted to split the money half and half. I would always give the ministry, whoever speak for me, I would always give them all of the off. I never took any, but here it's different. I didn't know what they was talking about. And it says, excuse me, the visiting minister must be welcome at their point of entry. So when they come in, the usher should take them to the office where the pastor is, or if the pastor's not there, he could tell the usher to take them to the pastor's study where they can go in there and do what they need to do. And then when they're ready to come out, the usher would lead them up to the pulpit, giving the visiting minister the honor is due, fetching from airport special seating and welcoming, giving them space so they are not overcrowded. Yeah, you treat them like you would want to be treated if you were going to go out and visit, going to preach somewhere. You're supposed to just welcome them and make them feel welcome. Refer to the visiting minister according to the manner that they should use in their church. Refer to the visiting ministers according to the manner they use in our guests. You know, I don't know about that. Give the guest minister adequate time to minister. Often you can allow them to go overtime. Remember, they have traveled from afar. And that's proper, but sometimes ministers, I know we had a minister at our church one time, and he hadn't preached in about 5 years, and he preached 2 hours. We all was asleep, even the pastor, everybody, because he went on and on and on. He hadn't preached for a long time, and sometimes you had to get that word out. And when a minister is preached, don't get up and preach behind him and hoop and all this kind of stuff. That God is not pleased with that. That's one thing my pastor always taught me, don't get up and preach. Go behind the minister. That's not good. That's not ethical. When he gets through preaching, it's done. You can say, well, he did a good job. God used him, whatever. And that's it. But don't you go and the Lord said and all this kind of stuff. No. It's not ethical. If you are leading you or a small group or any ministry, you need to clear any external ministry with the pastoral leadership. If you are leading youth or a small group or any ministry, you need to clear it. You do. You need to, if it's something that you want to do in the church or you are trying to do, you go to the senior pastor and talk to him about it first. Remember, you are representational in your leadership. The flock do not belong to you. Right. But I always cover them like they do. But you all belong to God. That's why I was saying you can't treat sheep any kind of way. They ain't your sheep. They God's sheep. Don't come like that, because he'll get you by the sheep. Allow the inviting pastor to introduce the visiting pastor as opposed to the MC doing it. Getting a little deep, we should be talking about training, but that these are good things too to know, because when the inviting pastor invites another pastor, he should introduce and not the MC that you have for the service. Introduce the visiting pastor's wife and team too. Everybody that come with the pastor, you should introduce, especially his wife. You may be disregarding an Abigail or Elisha. Don't just focus on Elisha or David. Elijah or David. So you have to, everybody that came with them, sometimes you could just say, everybody that came with Pastor so-and-so, you could stand and the first lady stand like that. Make sure you know how to say the name of the church. Otherwise, it can seem very disorganized and distant. Unless impossible, but present at the service which you have invited the minister, honor visiting pastors, even those that are not ministering. And let me do the first one first. It said, make sure you know how to say the name. Yeah, make sure you know. You go ask somebody, is this how you say the name of the church, or is this how to say the pastor's name? Don't get over the pulpit and then say it wrong. No, because The other day, I was looking at CNN, and the lady called the man's name wrong that brought her on. I was embarrassed for her, and she didn't think nothing of it. Unless impossible, be present at the same at the service which you okay, at the service which you have invited the minister. Unless impossible, be present at the service that you invite. Sometimes you can invite a minister to preach for you and while you go away, or you may not be there at all. Sometimes that happens. It says honor visiting pastors, even though those that are not ministering, I always give. The man and woman of God. I ask everybody, all of them, do you have any remarks or anything to say? That's proper protocol and ethics. You all, if it's a man or woman of God in the house, any clergy in the house, you have them to stand and you ask them, you know, would you have anything to say if they don't want to stand or whatever. And then if it's room in your pulpit, you ask him up there. But you now God placed you over the pulpit. You can't let anybody up there. You got to be sure you know they minister. Amen. So this is for us. We're going to go tonight. Next week we'll start on our armor bearer training. But does everybody understand, kind of get what I'm talking about? I hope so. Because it's very important. Amen.
It's a proper way to do everything.
It is. It really is. So,
Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean.
Yes, ma'am.
I do have a question. So, how do you handle it when you preach and the people don't give you an honorarium? It's so many times I've preached and ministered, and I never get an honorarium.
And that's poor etiquette. That's poor. They have poor ethics. That's not right. That's not right. When you call a minister in to preach, if it ain't but $10, whatever you have, you should give it to them. They not asking for anything, but the church ought to bless them with something. If it ain't nothing but to buy your lunch or dinner or whatever, or gas money, whatever it is, it should be done. You shouldn't do that. If you can't afford them, you let them know up front. Now, we're not going to have but this and this. And so, you know, and let them know up front. I've done it many times. If I didn't have enough, but I usually try to pay anybody that preach for me the best that I can. That's what you do. And the ones that you can, you tell them before they come. Not like Marcus, a prophet, Pastor Marcus Nichols. He's come for me so many times and got $50, $100 or whatever, and he go moving right along because he's not preaching for the money. But it's just ethical to give them something. So that's not right. And God will take care of them. They won't prosper like that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pray for them.
And also, mm-hmm. As far as like with you, at any time you've invited me to preach or minister, you've always taken good
mm-hmm.
care of me. But
mm-hmm.
I noticed that more than not, I don't get an honorarium. But it's been a while since I've been on the circuit. I just wanted
mm-hmm.
to know, like, how do you, like, as far as, like, being a new minister, or you trying to get your ministry out here, how do you even get to the point to build those relationships? Because I'm always serving as an associate minister under another pastor, but I have
mm-hmm.
had my own ministry, and I do need
mm-hmm.
to know how to move out and get out there so that I can begin to really preach and use my gift. Instead of just waiting for people to invite me, because it's got a way to
right.
be a way for people to get to know you.
Right.
And maybe
absolutely.
That's what I've been missing.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get out there. You have to visit. If you go and visit, they get to know you, then they'll invite you. but they have to know that you are a preacher or a woman of God before they let you in their pulpit, because God is putting them over the pulpit. So they have to know you are who you say you are. And once you visit two or three times, shoot, they'll be asking you to preach. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. And then, for your own ministry, you know, you have to just get out there, let people know who you are, pass out flyers, talk to people, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, witnessing. We're not really witnessing on this line. I try to do what I can, but we all should be witnessing, inviting people even to the line, you know, to get ministered to and to see if they even like it or anything. But, you know, God is good, and he'll send them where we just, sometimes you witness, and he might not send that person to your church, but he may send them, he may send somebody else for you witnessing to that person. Sometimes it work like that. But, yeah, you keep witnessing and keep talking to people and see what God does, because he's a good God, and he know exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But,
Amen.
We just have to stay focused, especially at a time that we're in right now. We got to stay focused on the Lord and get close as we can to him. But anyway, we're going to get off. We're going to start back. Next week, I'm going to text everybody the chapter and stuff that we're going to talk about in Ormaberra next week. And we're going to go try to get into that real good. It's very important. I'm reading a book now about serving others, because that's what we are. We should be serving each other. Mm-hmm. That make you love each other when you can serve them. But anyway, Father, we just thank you for this minister's training, Lord. We thank you that you open up our hearts and our minds so that we can receive your word, Lord. Lord, we want to be the best that you would have us to be, because we represent you, Lord, and we know that you the highest that can go. And we give you praise, Lord. You are the highest, the most high God. And we want to do a good and great job for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, and encamp angels all around them to protect them. In their cars, in their homes, on the street, on the bus, wherever they are, God, protect them and guide them and lead and guide them, Lord Jesus. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You all have a good night. We'll be back right back here for Bible class when chapter 4 or 5. For tomorrow night in Genesis. And we'll see you then. God bless you. You all have a blessed night, the rest of the night. God love you, and I love you too. You all have a good night.
Amen. God bless you all. Okay. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year to you, baby.